this past week's this past Shabbos, the parsha was Parshas Kisetze. So a little bit, in order to appreciate the context of the Sicha, it's important to know that the Sicha was said, the riots in Crown Heights had started that week. So this Shabbos was like right in the middle of the riots. And interestingly, the week before in Parshas Shaftim, the Rebbe had spoken about the fact that the leader of the generation is also the prophet of the generation. So many years later, it actually came out very interesting. There's this fellow named David Luchens, who whose family had a unique connection with the past few Lubavitcher Rebbes. Apparently, his grandfather was great grandfather was a cantonist, who after he got out of the army was niskarved by the Rebbe of that time. I don't remember if it was which Rebbe it was. He spoke about it. He gave a speech once, more than once. But one of the Rebbeim made his great grandfather's shidduch, and somehow the family had a connection with the Rebbes. Then when they came to America, they continued to have a very interesting connection. So this fellow was by the Rebbe quite a number of times, and he worked on Senator Moynihan's staff, who was the senator of New York State for many years. And he told over how he didn't appreciate the juxtaposition of the Sicha, but he told over how not long before the riots broke out, the Rebbe contacted him and said he needs to speak to Senator Moynihan. And the Rebbe, they spoke, and the Rebbe said that this was a 91 was the end of the towards the end of the term of the first President Bush, so it was already after 8 years of Reagan and 3 years of Bush, and many programs had been cut. Many government programs, many entitlement programs were being cut. That was part of the Republican platform. Was even though it was the Congress was controlled by the Democrats, but that was he managed to get many of the things that he wanted passed. He managed to get through. And because there was less federal money coming into the states, so the states and the cities also had to cut certain things. So the Rebbe said to the senator, the Rebbe said that something has to be done, because since there are a lot of cuts in these entitlement programs, so there's a perception in the black community that the Jews are getting of the monies that are available, there's a perception in the black community that the Jews are getting a disproportionate share of the monies that are available, and this creates a lot of resentment. And the Rebbe says, I'm concerned that if it gets really bad, there could actually be blood in the streets. And this was not long before the riots broke out. I mean, obviously, the excuse was the car accident, but from all the things that they were screaming about and all the things, you could see that the resentment wasn't simply about, it was a buildup of resentment on many fronts. And so he said, this David Luchet said that when these events unfolded, so the senator said to him, he said, I've known for many years that the Rebbe is a wise man. I didn't know till now that the Rebbe is a prophet. That's what he... So it was interesting that it was that week that the Rebbe spoke about how the leader of the generation is also the prophet of the generation, that even a guy. For some reason, he loved Orthodox Jews. Nobody knows why. You know, I never heard of, an explanation of why he, that he, you know, and he saw, he recognized that, he had inside knowledge. Jews that ever spoke, contacted him on a private basis. It wasn't that ever didn't go public with this. That I was saying something has to be done, but that his reaction when these events happened is that now I know that I was a prophet. I'm saying the guy understood that the Pasha literally, without learning the Sikhi, understood literally that the Pasha was talking about a prophet. So, in middle of the year, while these events are taking place and unfolding, so the Rebbe, throughout that week, the Rebbe spoke a number of Sikhas during the week. And, in fact, in this Sikha where they worked off what the Rebbe spoke Shabbos, they also incorporated some of the things that Rebbe said at the that week. The Rebbe started speaking, a few of the weekdays. So the Rebbe spoke about one of the things that the Rebbe referred to was the fact that it says in the Rebbe explains in Likut HaTorah that Kiseitze La Muhammad Aloy Vecha, that when, why does it say Aloy Vecha? You go out to war upon your enemies. So you go out to war with your enemies. What's upon your enemies? So the idea that even when a Jew comes down into this world and he has to deal with the issues of this world that require him to fight against the opposition, he needs to know that he's above the enemy. He's not down on their level, that he's above the enemy. And also that I've spoken a lot about the union of joy, that we're ready rejoicing with the redemption. But I ever said, I went so far as to say that here they didn't write it as clearly as it ever actually said it, but if you get a hold of the volume where they printed out the original text of what they ever said throughout this year, not the way it was rewritten and edited, but a number of years ago, it was published as a big green soft cover book. I don't know. But if you see the original text or you get the tapes from the weekdays, it was here that ever actually that ever said that by the that even though it says about the time of Golos, that one is prohibited from full out laughter or full out smiling. It's not clear what the schaik is. Also lemale schaik piv ba'elam hazeh. You know, fully laugh or smile in this world while we're in Golos until the time of the redemption. The Rebbe says that we see by the Friedrich Rebbe that he did. And the Rebbe said that Rebbe connected with the day of his chasna, which was Yud Gimel Elul, and the Rebbe spoke about. So the Rebbe said because he's the Mashiach of the generation, and therefore by him it's already the times of Mashiach, and therefore to all who are connected to him, and we could actually have to be celebrating and rejoicing of the redemption already now, and not we don't have that restriction or that restraint that we limit our rejoicing because of the fact that we're in Golos. It's like that no longer applies. It's a pretty strong statement to make.
You really mean it.
So it's actually interesting that there is a later sikha where the Rebbe seems to only say it. Not all the way in later Sikha and Tavshin and Beis. It's a question how far he was actually going with that as in terms of a practical instruction. But clearly, that ever, even here in the Hira and the Sikha, that we have to start rejoicing with the redemption as a reality. But so basically, the way the Sikha is set up, the talk is that. The Rebbe speaks about the fact that when we read two parshas on the same day, since the custom is that we read the parsha in the morning and then we read the beginning of the next parsha in the afternoon by Mincha. So from the very fact that we read the two portions on the same day, obviously means that on some level they're connected. Question is that in the week of Parshas Kisetze, we read Kisetze in the morning, and Kisava Menchatan. So to say that they're connected, actually we need to understand that they seem to be, in fact, opposites. First of all, just the names of the Parshas. Tetze means to go out, and Tavi means to arrive. So those are basically two opposites. Additionally, if you actually look at the content of the beginning of the Parshas, one describes the going out as about going out to war against your enemies. Whereas Kisava is about arriving in the land and inheriting it and settling it. So now, going out to war or settling a land are two very opposite things. When a person goes out to war, he's actually in a state of a lack of tranquility, and a lack of being settled. The Rambam says, as the Rambam says, how a person is supposed to go about when the laws that apply to warfare, they're supposed to forget everything and throw yourself completely into the battle. So that seems to be the exact opposite state of mind and state of being as someone who's settling the land. And not only settling the land, but we say that with the Parsha in the beginning of Kisava, he talks about bringing Bikurim, that he has already reached the point of settling the land, where he's already enjoying the crops, the new crops, and in fact he's supposed to, when he brings these first fruits, it says he's supposed to rejoice with all the good that God has given you. So it seems to be a very different state, very opposite state of the state of being in which one is when he goes out to war. So similarly, these contrasts can also be found in the Hasidic explanations of these two parshas as they are in the spiritual sense of one's personal avodah. The idea of kisetze l'amulcham alivecha, of going out to war upon your enemies, it's brought in Chassidus. One of the explanations brought us to this, that it means it's referring to the soul leaves its place up in the higher realms, and it leaves it from the place of where its root and source is, and it goes down into this lowly physical world, and is dressed up in a body and an animal soul, in order to refine them and elevate them, and similarly to do so in his portion in the world. So this type of avodah is described as going out to war upon your enemies. Why? Because he's going into a situation where there's tremendous opposition, especially in a time of galus, when the opposition is especially great and requires a tremendous fight, so to speak, in order to overcome and be successful in carrying out his mission of the soul down here. Whereas Kisavai, when you arrive in the land, is talking about the Aveda in a way of tranquility and peacefulness, similar at a time when the Jewish people are dwelling in their own land, as it was the ultimate time was in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, when they were completely at peace. So it seems to be, spiritually, they represent two very different avodas, quite the opposite, in a way of being of tranquility and calm and peace. It seems to be quite the opposite of the avoda in the time of Galus, which is an avoda of going out to war. And the Rebbe says, especially, even more so now in our time, when we read Kisavei Elaretz, we're not just referring to the events that took place in the past. Now when we read Kisavei Elaretz, it actually relates to the future redemption. Because when we read now, Ki Sava El Aretz, in the future, when you will arrive, what we're talking about is arriving in the land as it in together with Mashiach in the true and complete redemption. So this brings out even more the distinction and the distance, the degree of oppositeness between the parishes of Kisetze and Kisavai, not just two different types of Avodah, which one is an Avodah in a way of doing battle, and the other is an Avodah in a way of tranquility and peace. But actually, when you're talking about the Kisavai El Aretz in the sense of when you will arrive in the land, meaning in the time of redemption, that's already the distinction between the actual work that we're supposed to do in this world and the reward that we're going to receive in the future time. When we talk about arriving in the land, that's already coming with Mashiach, that's already related to the idea of the reward of the future time. The Rebbe says, actually, these two opposites can actually be found in the Pirkei Avos, which in this unique kviyas, we end up reading in Parshas Kisetze, we read the first two chapters of Pirkei Avos on the same Shabbos. So the first chapter of Pirkei Avos focuses on the job of a Jew in this world, which is, it focuses on the fact that the Moshe received the Torah and passed it along, and that you have to keep the chain going by establishing many students, and the work of the Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. It seems to be focusing on the job and the mission, the work of a Jew in this world. At the end of the second chapter, concludes, and you should know that the reward of the righteous is in the future time. Which seems to emphasize the idea of the reward. Even though the work and the reward are two different things that take place in different times, as Chazal say, Hayom la'asoysam u'mocha l'kabel scharam, the work is for today, and the reward is to be received tomorrow. Still in all, we read these two parshas on the same time, and we learn these two chapters on the same time. So there seems to be some connection between the work, even now, between the work in a way of going out and doing battle and the reward, which represents the ultimate peace and tranquility. So the Rebbe says the basic point that the Rebbe brings out is that actually the reading of Parshas Kisavai as a follow-up to Parshas Kisetze is actually can be interpreted as an explanation. It explains and clarifies what it is that you're expected to do as expressed in Parshas Kisetze. Parshas Kisetze is referring to going out to war and going out the avodah, the work that you need to do in this world. So you should know that even the avodah of Muhammad has to be done in a way of menucha and esyashra. So it has to be done in a way of tranquility, in a way of being totally settled in as if you've already arrived. When you're going out to war, you have to go out to war in a way of somebody who's completely calm and tranquil and living in peace. So even more so, the Rebbe says that even in the Avodah itself, there's already a microcosm or even the beginning of the state of being of the time of reward. See, right? We said that Kisavai, it refers to a state of tranquility. It's also alluding to the time of the reward. So that even when you go out, Kisetze L'Amochama, you need to already be you need to do so in a state of tranquility and settledness, and you need to and that you should know that there's already, in a certain way, there's already the beginnings of the reward are already present even as you're going out to do the work. Or the Rebbe says actually you could see, you could find this in the wording of the Mishnah that we quoted. It says, "Veda," and you should know, "Shematn scharan shel tzadikim la'asad lava." You should know that the reward for the righteous is in the future time to come. So the word "to know," as it's explained in Chassidus, means that you have to connect to it. Das is a lashon iskashrus and iskabrus. You have to connect to the idea. That means that even while you're involved in the work, you have to be already connected to the state of affairs, the state of being, of what it will be like in the time of reward in the future time. That even while you're involved in the work, there's already present an element, an aspect, and even the beginning of the rewards of the future time. So what is, and the Rebbe says, you can say that this is actually alluded to in Parshas Kisei itself, because in Parshas Kisei we find a law that says that someone who hires a worker is obligated to pay him on the day that he does the work. You have to pay him on the day. So the same thing applies to the reward for the aved of the Jewish people by the Eibishter. That in addition to the reward that comes in the future time, as it says in the Mishnah, and the Lumachal Kabul Scharan, as it says in the Chazal, that the reward is tomorrow, the reward is in the future, there has to be, and there already is, on some level, the daily reward. Because you have to pay him on that day, as we will explain what that means. It says, in order to understand all this, you have to first preface, we need to first explain the whole concept of going out to war. Rashi says that when it says in the pasuk, "He says to Lamuchem Ali Vehara," when you go out to war upon your enemies, Rashi says, "V'muchem es rishos hakas of medaver," that the verse is discussing a muchem es rishos, not an obligatory war, which the Torah obligates you to go to war, but rather a voluntary war. A war which this law of Eishes Yifas Torah that we're discussing here applies to a voluntary war, which you're going out for the purpose of acquisition or whatever it is that you go out to war for. The question is, according to what we explained before, that the Seitzel Amocham Alivech is referring to the general Aved of a Jew in this world, is referring to the Aved of the Neshama that comes down to this world to do its Aved. Okay, this Aved of refining the body and the animal soul and the world is a commandment and an obligation. So what do you say, how could you say, interpret that the Seitzel Amocham is going on the work of the soul, its mission in this world? The mission of the soul in this world is not a voluntary war, it's an obligatory war. Which leads to another question. The question is, how do we even have a concept of reward for the avod in this world? The work that a Jew does in this world, when do you say that this reward or this payment for work done? When somebody is a hired hand. A hired hand, somebody who is somebody who can choose to do the work or not do the work, and he agrees to do the work. So the idea is you hire him, you pay him for the work that he does. But a servant, for example, who's obligated to do the work of his master, he doesn't get a paycheck. He doesn't get payment, he doesn't get reward. So since the Jewish people are obligated to serve the Eibishter, what's this whole concept of reward? That not only are we obligated, in fact it says, that Anilay Nevresi El Lasham Shuskaini, the whole purpose of my existence is to serve Hashem. So what kind of place is there for the whole concept of payment and reward? That we could actually explain this based on the Diak and the Lashon that it says Kiseitse La Milcham. When you go out to war, what does it mean going out to war? Even though we actually find elsewhere it says that when you come to war, but what does it mean you go out to war? Because the whole idea of a Jew operating and working in this world is actually, by definition, means that he goes out from his true place, not only in terms of the place where the souls are present in the upper spheres, but actually even higher than that. The true place of a Jew is as a literal part of God. So much so is the literal part of God that Chazal tell us that when God was considering creating the world, he consulted with himself, in his own internal consultation where he was considering to create the world or not. So it says that he consulted with the souls of the righteous about whether or not he should create the world. Chassidus explains, what does it mean he consulted with the souls of the righteous? They don't exist yet. What is the souls of the righteous? It's obviously, we're talking about an internal consideration. So Chassidus explains that it's referring to the Jewish people as they are sourced in his very essence, that within himself he's considering the issue within internally, within himself. So when it says that he consulted with the souls of the righteous, it means that part of himself that he was going to send down to operate as separate beings that would actually carry out the mission for which he was creating the world. So that's the true place of a Jew. The true place of a Jew is on the level where Jew and God are all one. That's the true level of a Jew. This idea of kisetze, why is it called going out? So that I've explained that the Jew, by definition, coming down into this world is going out from his true place, not only going out in terms of leaving the realm of the souls and the spiritual spheres, but we're talking about an even higher level, that he's actually going out from his original place, which is as a literal part of God himself. And the Rebbe says, by the way, this is, the Rebbe shows how it's alluded to in the parasha as well, but the point is, that emphasis based on this, we can understand why we say that the Seitz Ilam Mocham is a Mocham is a Rishos. Since the Jew is literally a part of God, and the Jew and the Rishos are all one, so that means they, by their very essence, they are completely above any connection to the existence of the world, or doing any kind of work in this world. And their whole descent into this world, in a way of going out from their true place, is only for the sake of doing the job in this world, is only after you already created a whole Seder Shalshalos and you created a whole world, then we could talk about them going out into the world to do the job in the world. But the whole Seder Shalshalos and the whole creation of the world was with their permission. This was something that we volunteered for before the whole process even began, because God consulted with the souls of the Jewish people as they are within himself. So comes out that the entire process is by definition a Mohammed HaRishos at its very source, which is to say that this that we, but what do you mean a Jew is still obligated to do what he's supposed to do here in this world, to learn Torah, do mitzvahs, and then refine himself in the world? Yes. From the perspective of the existence of the Jew, of the soul as a created being, from that perspective, it's an obligation. That's the purpose for which he was created. So his existence as a created being is such that he is obligated to carry out this mission. But that existence as a created being at its source, at his very essence, it's actually that whole process only began with his permission, so to speak, with his consent, with his voluntary agreement that the whole process should even take place. So at its root, it's ultimately a rishus. So the Rebbe says, based on this, we can understand the whole concept of reward. Since from the perspective of the true nature of a Jew, his true existence as a literal part of God, his true existence which totally transcends the reality of the world, from that perspective, the very fact of his descending into the world in order to carry out the job of refining the world, that's in a manner of rishus. That was a voluntary process. So the Rebbe says, actually, to explain this further, it would help if we would actually explain even deeper, have a deeper understanding of this process of Kiseitzi La Muhammad Aloy Vecha, of the job, of the mission of going out to war upon your enemies. We said that in this pasuk, it indicates two things. On the one hand, it talks about going out to war, meaning that you have to lower yourself into the world and deal with the issues of this world, even those issues that seem to be in direct opposition to godliness. On the other hand, we say you're aloi vecha. You're supposed to be above it all. Okay? So you're operating within the world, and at the same time, you're operating within the world, and you're above the world at the same time. So the Rebbe says this, based on what we're saying now, it gives us a much deeper understanding in the whole process of what a Jew came down here to do and how it works. What is the purpose of the whole Avodah? That they should desire the dwelling place in the lowly realms. So, what does it mean, a dwelling place in the lowly realms? There's two ingredients. One is that the lowly realms themselves be a suitable dwelling. That's the job, to make that the lowly realms themselves be a suitable dwelling. The other aspect is that God himself be revealed in that dwelling, because that's the very nature of a dwelling, that the inhabitant is fully revealed in. So in order for the So it comes out there's two parts to the job. One part is to make the lowly realms themselves a suitable dwelling. The other job is to bring the revelation of God himself into that dwelling. So how is it that a Jew has the capacity to do these two things? The answer is because in order to do the job of making the lowly realms into a suitable dwelling, he needs to go out. He needs to go out from his true place as a literal part of God. Not only a literal part of God, but the literal part of God that actually gave the deciding vote, voluntarily gave the deciding vote that the whole process should take place. He has to lower himself down into this lowly world. He has to become a part of it. He has to work and operate from within it. Only then can he actually change, elevate, and transform it, that it becomes a suitable dwelling. On the other hand, he has to always retain his connection to his original source, which is one with the essence of God. That's what makes it possible that he revealed the essence of God in this world. So he needs both aspects of his existence. A, that he's a literal part of God, and B, that he is able to descend down into this world and function and operate as a part of this world with a body and an animal soul. He needs to have both ingredients at the same time. He needs to be in the world and above the world, the aspect of his being one with God, which means to say that even as he's operating within the world, it has to be obvious that he's not a part of this world, but that he's totally one with God and is above this world, even as he's operating within the world as a part of it. And the Rebbe says this is also alluded to in Kisava Yala Aretz, when you will arrive in the land or in the earth. So that talks about the neshama actually arriving down here in the earth in order to transform it into a holy land. What's the point? We're talking about the land of Eretz Yisrael. And a Jew comes down into the physical world and transforms it into Haaretz, into Eretz Yisrael, into a holy land, to the point that the land that Hashem gives you as an inheritance, that it's and you inherit it and you dwell in it, that it actually becomes the permanent dwelling place of the Jewish people, meaning as it will be in the time when it alludes to this time when it's a dwelling place for the Eibushter down below. The Rebbe says this is also emphasized even more in the parasha of Bikura, in the midst of Bikura, that through the avodah of the Jewish people in refining the world, it's revealed in the world their true mitzias, their true reality, which is that the Bikura. Why are the Jewish people called Bikurim? Jewish people are called Bikurim because they precede the world, just like Bikurim are the first fruits. So the Jewish people are called Bikurim because they precede the world, being that they are one with the Eivishter's essence, and therefore that is what makes this world, this earth, into a dwelling place for the Eivishter. So the Rebbe says, oh, now that we understand what the nature of the Avodah is, we could also understand, appreciate the nature of the reward, because we know, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, after he explains in chapter 36, the purpose of creation, which is to make the world into a dwelling place for the Eivishter, and that the ultimate fulfillment of that is in the times of Mashiach, and especially when the dead will be resurrected. So that's the ultimate completion and perfection and purpose for which the world was created. In the next chapter, in chapter 37, he says that this ultimate perfection, which will be realized in the times of Mashiach and the resurrection of the dead, which is the revelation of God's infinite light in this physical world, is dependent on our actions and our service throughout the entire period of Golos. And he says, because that which causes the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. Because in actually doing the mitzvah, he actually brings down the revelation of God's infinite light to be invested in this physical world. So the Alter Rebbe explains that the idea of the reward of mitzvahs is not like a job where you do one thing and you get paid something else, right? You schlep boxes and you get paid dollars, okay? So the payment is not the exact thing that you're doing. When it comes to the Avodah of a Jew in this world, the Avodah is the reward itself. What you're doing is bringing down God's infinite light into this physical world, and in the end, you get to see what you did. That's your reward. Your reward is you get to see and experience the revelation that you wrought, that you brought about. So the emphasis is like this. Comes out. So based on this, the Rebbe says, by the way, friends, the Rebbe says, based on this, we can explain what it means when it says, B'yayme titen tzcharei. So we said that this should apply to the Eivishter too, because we know the Eivishter fulfills the commandments. And if the Eivishter gave us a commandment to pay a worker on the day that he does the work, so the Eivishter has to pays a Jew on the day that he does the work. Aye, we know that the reward for the mitzvahs is in the future time. So the Rebbe says, no. That since what you're doing with the mitzvah is, you're doing the thing itself, you're actually bringing down the revelation of the infinite light into this world, there has to be some byproduct, some payoff in this world. There has to be some positive impact. In each individual mitzvah that you do, there has to be some positive impact in your life, whether it's in an individual aspect of your life, or some individual personal redemption in your life. There has to be some positive impact in your life. But the Rebbe says even more than this. This that we describe, it's Chassidus says, if I'm actually doing it. And Jews have been doing it throughout for thousands of years. How come we still don't see it? What does it mean we do it now and we see it later? What we're doing is bringing about the revelation of infinite light. So what do you mean we do it now and we see it later? So Chassidus gives a mashal as if it's locked away in a box. In other words, yes, you brought it down here and it's yours. You brought it, you made it, and it's all yours, but it's like yours stored away in a lockbox. So that's what it says. So Yitaka did it, you made it, you have it, it's here now. It's not coming later. You made it now. It's here now. So how come you don't see it till later? So it's like stored away for you in a lockbox. So the Rebbe says, comes out that the worker already owns what he accomplished. You already own it. It's yours. It's in your safe deposit box. You already own it. You know, it's not like payment that you're going to get later. You don't own it yet, but you're going to get paid like a sharecropper who produces, who, yes, you get to keep what you produce, a portion of what you produce, but you don't get it till the end of the contract when the owner of the land gives you the share of what you produced. Here, what you produced, it's yours. It's yours, it's just in a box. But the Rebbe says that the Eibishter gives actually gives the not only does every Jew own it, but the Eibishter gives every Jew permission to open the box and reveal the reward anytime that he desires. How? By adding that one mitzvah that tips the scales and brings salvation and redemption to the world. Since you have the power to bring Mashiach, that means you have the power to open the box at any time. It's because it's in your hands. You were given the power. But the Rebbe says, in addition to the fact that there is the B'yayimei Titein Scharet as the reward of the daily reward that you get as a direct result of your actions, there's also additionally a reward that's described as set aside for the future time. That's the general reward that, besides each individual person's individual reward for his individual efforts, there's the general reward that we all share in, which includes all the work of all the Jews of all the generations. Actually at that time we say that when the reward comes, we'll actually reach, the Aveda will reach its ultimate perfection. We say that the study of Torah and the fulfillment of mitzvahs will reach its ultimate perfection in that time, as we says Torah Chadoshim Iti Teitze, and the revelation of Panimius HaTorah, and in the fulfillment of mitzvahs, we describe the mitzvahs in the future time as Kemitzvahs V'Tzeinecha, that they will be perfectly in accordance with your will. So you see, both things apply, that the Aveda, that at the time of the Aveda you already have the reward, and at the time of the reward you'll have the ultimate, the Aveda will be achieve its ultimate perfection, because they go hand in hand. It's not two separate things. They go hand in hand, just like it goes hand in hand, the struggle in the world, the realization and the awareness and the expression of the fact that you're completely above the world. It's the same thing applies to the work and the reward. They go hand in hand. Even as you do the work, the reward is present, and even as you will enjoy the ultimate reward, the work will achieve its ultimate, you will achieve the ultimate perfection in doing the work. So the Rebbe says that on an even deeper level, the Rebbe takes it another step further and says that we already have a taste or a microcosm or the beginning of the reward, that of the that future reward is already present in the Avoda that we do today, even before you've already accomplished something and you get your daily reward, just when you're starting out to do the Avodah, before you actually accomplish anything and have your daily reward, which is a small part of the ultimate general reward, that we already have the presence of reward even in the work itself, even as you begin to do the work. So, since we said that the work and the reward are really all one and the same thing, that through the work of the Jewish people who are one with God's very essence, they accomplish the revelation of God's essence in the world. So what is that? What are we saying? That the work that you're doing is expressing the reality that was present before the work even began. What were you originally? You're originally a part of God. What are you trying to do here with the work? Express what was already, before you even started. That's really what you're trying to do through all your work, is express what already was. And what are you trying to accomplish? The thing is, you want to bring that should be revealed in the world. Before you were one with God, but not in a world. What you're trying to accomplish through that way is reveal what was, but that should be revealed in a world, which is, and that's what we're calling a Dira B'Tachtonim. So the Rebbe says this has to be present and has to be present and recognizable even in the beginning of the work. In other words, that your sense should not be that you're trapped in the present. When a person goes, there's the idea, you know, in the secular world is this concept of you have to like live in the moment, you have to live in the present, you have to be, it's all about the here and now. They were saying, actually, in order to fully actualize the present, to fully actualize the here and now, you have to be operating in a way where it's not about the present. It's about what was and what will be. I'm already, in other words, my reality is the reality that, my true reality is the reality of what was. The fact that I even as I'm operating in the world, I'm aware and I'm cognizant and I'm conscious and in touch with the reality of the fact that as I was one with the divine essence before there even was a world, and that my whole being in the world is only because of the fact that this revelation has to be take place in the world. So I'm living in the past and in the future. I'm not living in the present. The present is not the reality that I. The present is not the reality I inhabit. The reality I inhabit is the reality of the past and the future. I'm not bound and limited by the present. And in fact, so when I relate to the reality as it was. And even as I operate in the world, I relate to the world in terms of the reality as it's meant to be. That makes it much easier for me to do the job that I have to do in the world. Because the present reality is not hampering me or limiting me because that's not what it's about. It's just a means to get from where I was and which I continue to be to what it is supposed to be, and this is just a step along the way. So the Rebbe says, based on this, he explains the connection of the parshas Kisetze and Kisavai. So basically, the idea is that you need to be operating even when you're going out and you're taking on the world. You're operating. You seem to be fighting and struggling in the world. It has to be done in a way of kisavai, like you've already arrived, in a way of menucha and esyashus, in a way that you're already living in the reality of the future time. And so that's why you're not relating to the opposition. You're above the opposition. You're alevecha. You're above your enemy. You're above the opposition. And you realize that the whole interaction with the enemy is only, as the pasuk continues, in the son of Hashem alekecha biyodecha, that the Eibishter will give him into your hands, v'shavisa shivyoi, and you'll capture that which he captured, you'll capture from him. And since it's explained that alludes to the sparks of holiness that were captured in amongst the other nations and have to be extracted from them. So the whole point is, I'm not. The opposition is not real. The opposition is not a threat. The opposition is just a means to an end to express who I really am and where I really need to be. So the Rebbe says that this Aveda has to be in a way of Menucha and Esyashus, literally. That you have to be in a way of Menuchas HaNefesh and Menuchas HaGuf. You have the tranquility of the body, tranquility of the soul. The Rebbe says that there's also, besides for the fact that you have to operate this way, the Eibishter has to do his part. The Eibishter has to give each and every Jew everything he needs, begashmius uberuchnius, and in a way of expansiveness from his open and full and holy and expansive hand. Starting off, he has to give a Jew everything because he needs it in order to do his work in this world, not as a reward. He needs to have the means at his disposal in order to do the work properly, like the Rambam says about all the different Gashmistika promises that the Torah makes. If you observe the commandments, all the good things God will give you, he says, because you need to have peace and you need to have plenty in order to be able to do the Torah as needed. So Ram says all things like satiety and peace and much silver and gold. In addition, the Eibishter has to give as a reward, the reward of B'yayme Titin Schari, that even in the time of today, of Hayyim Lassoism, the Eibishter has to give the daily reward, besides for the future reward, there's the daily reward. And not only a spiritual reward, but even a material reward, similar to the way it will be in the future time, that as a direct result of the spiritual revelations, there will be material manifestations of those spiritual revelations, and all the delights will be plentiful as dust. So similarly today, when a Jew, through his Avodah, brings down the revelation of infinite light, that has to manifest in material rewards as well. So the Rebbe connects it to the union of Chaydish El, that Chaydish El is the end of the previous year and the beginning of the next year. The point of the point of it at being the end of the previous year is that the person through, the Rebbe refers to the five Rosh HaTevis of El, that allude to Torah, Tefillah, and Gemilas Chasadim, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, and Tshuva, and Geula, that it's time to correct anything that was lacking in Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim throughout the year, to fill that lack through Tshuva, and through that, bring to Geula. And at the same time, it's also now supposed to prepare you for the new year on a whole new level, meaning that you're supposed to complete the process and experience the reward, so to speak, the payment for the year before, and achieve an even higher level of perfection in the Avodah of the coming year, the idea of the fusion of the reward and Avodah at the same time, and that ever connects you with the year of Tavshin and Aleph, and the fact that that it says that it's the year that Melech HaMashiach is revealed in, and he stands on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, and he says, "Humble ones, the time of your redemption has arrived." And the Rebbe says, since we find ourselves in the last month of this year, it's no longer possible to push it off, chas v'shalom, the fulfillment of this promise. And therefore it has to be fulfilled immediately, even on this very Shabbos, and that literally that Chaydish El of this year should be the completion of our actions and service throughout the entire period of Golos. We should immediately go to the reward of Yimei Samashir and Tchiyas HaMesim, all in the present tense. So then the Rebbe explained the way it's written up, because they wrote it to Shabbos, so they incorporated, the Rebbe said, the connection of Yudalat El, which was Shabbos, was Yudalat El, the fact that it's the day leading up to Tesvav, which is the day of the full moon. And also Yudalat is 30 days before Sukkot, because for Pesach, you start 30 days before, it ends up being Tesvav, because Adar is 2 days of Chaydash Nisan. But since in Rosh Hashanah it is only one day, the first day is Aleph already. So El is always a chaser. El always has 29 days. So 30 days before Sukkot is when you're supposed to start doing the halachas. 30 days before, it comes out Yudalat El. So it explains also Sukkot is the time of Simcha. And the Rebbe explains the whole idea as it's connected with Simcha, and especially the Rebbe says even more so in our time, when the Erev Shabbos was the Yud Gimel El, which is the day of the Chasna of the Friedrich Rebbe, and Wednesday was Yud Aleph El, which Wednesday is described in the Gemara as Kamei Shabbos, the beginning, the days leading up to the coming Shabbos, is Yud Aleph El, the day of the Chasna of the Rebbe Rashab. And Tesvav El is the day of the founding of Tamchei Tmimim. So the Rebbe connects all these things that there has to be. We should really be holding by the time of the Nisuin, of the marriage between the Eivish and the Jewish people, and so on. There's a number of many different points that are connected. I can't go into every one of these points. But the Hiroes that the Rebbe says, the Ma'aseh B'Poel, the first one is to publicize in each and every place that we are standing at the conclusion and the end of our actions and service, the work of Kisei Tzeilam Mocham Alivecha. We're standing at the conclusion, and we're standing at the beginning of the period of the payment of reward. which is described as the payment of reward of tzaddikim, which is alluded to in Kisavei Laharetz, and therefore, that being the case, it is necessary that the Avodah should also be in matters that are connected to the days, to the times of Mashiach, starting from studying Torah in matters of Mashiach and Geulah and Beis HaMikdash. Also and especially that the Avodah should be done in a way of tranquility and settledness, joy and gladness of heart, including through arranging farbrengens of joy, celebratory farbrengens, joyous farbrengens, especially in connection with the marriage and the Sheva Brachos, in connection with the celebration of marriage and Sheva Brachos, and similarly as a microcosm and a preparation for the fulfillment of the future promise of Ozi Molis Chekpinu, that in our generation refers to the Nasi Hadar, whose name is Yitzchak, because he is associated with the idea of laughter and joy, and he's the eighth Nasi, which is alluded to in Ozi Molis Chekpinu, that Oz, in the eighth time, that's when our the laughter of our mouths will be full. He's the eighth from the Baal Shem Tov. So we have the Inyan of Gimolis Chekpinu B'Lashon Haiva. The second Haira is to publicize in every place about the special Shlichus of Taim Chitmimim that continues and operates in all corners of the world in a way of being candles to illuminate Neiris Lahayr. Then, in addition to the fact that every Jewish house has to be a house of Torah, Tefillah, and Gemilas Chasadim, every house should be similar to Yeshiva of Taim Chitmimim through the study of Chassidus, in addition to the study of Torah in general. And the third thing is that to publicize in each and every place about the special effort in giving all the needs of the Yom Tov to all those who require it 30 days before Yom Tov, in order that they should be able to prepare for Sukkot, which is Zman Simchaseinu, in a state of peace and joy and gladness of heart. And even before that, as relates to the needs of Rosh Hashanah, as it says in the pasuk about Rosh Hashanah, you should eat fatty meats and drink sweet wines and send gifts to those who are undeserving. He writes in that through the talk and accepting good resolutions in these matters, we should be zeichet that immediately the Eibishter gives each and every Jew everything he needs from his full, open, holy, and expansive hand, and especially the most important thing, the Gula Amitzus Vashleima Al Yidei Mashiach Tzidkenu. So here, basically, the idea that the Rebbe is bringing out here is, again, it's building on the theme that we saw numerous sikhs over the weeks. This idea that we have to stop relating to the future as something that's divorced from the present. The point that the Rebbe is trying to guide us through the process of that the idea of preparation for Mashiach and the idea of preparation for Geula, the idea of bringing Geula, is a key part of that is to stop relating to it simply as something that is a future event or a future state of being or a future reality. It's something that has to become part of your present-day reality. And in fact, you have to stop seeing your present-day reality as a conflict with the future reality. The more you see the present-day reality as a conflict with your future reality, the more removed and distant it all seems. The more you're trapped in the present, the further away the future seems. It's through the realization that the whole present was never really a present. The whole present is only a step in the process from the true reality as we experienced it before we ever showed up, for whatever was a world, and to the ultimate reality of what the world is supposed to be like. That's what you need to be That's what you need to be transitioning to, you need to be relating to, you need to be experiencing that even in the here and now, rather than relating to it as something that the here and now is a reality that opposes godliness, that conceals godliness, that's at war with godliness, that's and oh, maybe someday in the future the world will be a better place and we'll actually see the godly reality. No, you have to realize it's all here, it's all present, it's all in the here and now. And what the change that needs to be made is the adjustment in your perception of that reality. As you adjust your perception, you actually are able to experience that reality in which Taka the world is a suitable dwelling, a place in which the Eivish's presence is fully revealed, as we will all see in a very open and revealed way with the coming of Mashiach immediately now.
Amen.